Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is... My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Ooh, shout out. John Cena said he had to get that chick back. He said, come on, Bella. You gotta come back, baby girl.
Oh, man. Well, officially, welcome to Talking Sports for the 12th man. We're going to try to keep hope alive, as Jesse said. I know voting day was happening today in Georgia, too, man. So, I mean, that's kind of a good segue, too. But, again, we are Talking Sports 12 man. Or, you know, maybe a little deal show. We don't support, too, Jesse, before we got here. Give us more time to talk. But the show is considerably shorter because, again, there's only so much we can talk about from that perspective, too. So, you know, we can kind of go off base or whatever. But again, welcome to Talking Sports 12th Man. We're going to try to see if Rob's going to join in too. But again, Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I actually had a day off from the work for the Stripers, and the game got rained out anyway. So I got a day off with it, and I got to go do a doubleheader tomorrow on top of regular work. So ready to stay on that grind. You know how it is. Hey, it is what it is. I'm off on Thursday, so it's cool.
There it is. Yeah, so yeah, and then obviously Memorial Day, we'll get some off time for that too, hopefully. But yeah, man, so how does that work, doubleheader? What time is it start? Are they going to try to fit it
early? They do two games, seven innings, and the first one starts at 5, and then I'll take like a 30-minute break in between and then start the second one. So I probably got a decent day ahead of me tomorrow, but, you know, I know that going into it, so it's all good. No worries.
Yep. Your mind is prepped. Yes, yeah, so I think we started at 4 one time, but I don't think so. They pushed it back or what, but yeah, good call. All right, so normally I kick it to Rob, but again, he has not made his way on. So, America, this is going to be fun. So, if you want to call on the show, we're going to keep it going. The 424-243-9519, that's the number. And that's the quickest way you can reach college your boys. Again, since it's a little smaller show, then the trigger was definitely going to have the hardest if you talk some nonsense.
Yeah, tell them what it is. We're cussing them out. Yeah. Tell them what it is, Dre. We're cussing them out.
You don't know. You definitely get cussed out. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you type in Talking Sports for the 12th man, you will find this as well. JQ, so today, of course, it's a Tuesday, May the 22nd. This month is flying by. I got to tell you, Rob cannot look down. I'm going to tell you right now, okay? So if Rob talks any junk, any shit, he cannot look this down. I'm just letting you know. I'm sorry to cuss. I mean, you know, we switched up. But I'm just saying.
As much as I cuss, you know, I ain't never going to talk about you cussing.
I'm just saying, he can't live it down. I'm just
no.
Oh, man. All right, so we got a lot of
He's asleep. He couldn't sleep.
He's like probably turning over right about now.
He couldn't sleep. All through the alarm.
What's up with that thing? Like, what just happened? What just happened? All right.
Hold on, real fast, Trey. You're breaking up a little bit on me.
Okay.
Am I breaking up on you?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to switch off. All right, can you hear me better?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll do that. I've got these little weird headphones, but we'll come off of that. But anyway, let's talk about a couple topics here, and hopefully you heard me talk about, you know, Rob can't get over this. You know, he can't let it down.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Accountable. All right, good deal. All right, so let's talk about these topics here. Again, let's first and foremost, LeBron, he passed Kareem on the all-time made field goals in the playoffs. Does that kind of elevate his legacy, or is that because he's playing longer? What do you think about talk about this?
Yeah, I think it's because he's playing longer. It's one of those stats, you know, all the LeBron haters jump in there and say, you know, ESPN and them are finding stats, you know, to keep bumping him up. Look, it's an accomplishment. Don't get me wrong. But you know, in terms of furthering his legacy, I just don't think it's going to move the needle that much, that particular one. And you touched on it. You know, he's played for 15 years now, and you know, he's been had the opportunity to play in the playoffs, you know, a good number of those years. Not every one of them, but it was like 12 or 13 of those 15 he's been in the playoffs or something like that. So he's had the opportunity, you know, to bank a lot of stats here in the postseason. But you still got to make those shots, you know what I mean? So no right. disrespect to LeBron, and, you know, no knocking him down for it. It's still a good achievement. I just don't think at this point where he is right now, because we talk about it every week, you know, until he starts passing one person and one person alone in all of these categories, and he puts his head above him and in that ring count, it's not going to move the needle in terms of coast to coast with the masses. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, he's been in the league 15 years. He's played all these playoff games. I mean, he's supposed to do that if he's going to be a great player. So I just don't think it furthers his legacy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm literally looking up. I'm looking up Kareem. Yeah. So let's look at his stats here. Did he play for 20 seasons? All right. Kareem did. Uh-huh. If you didn't realize that. So 19 time All Star. That's a record. 19 time All Star.
That's ignorant.
15 time All NBA selection. 11 time All NBA defensive team member. 6 championship teams. You know, that's, you know, he's 2 as assistant coach, whatever. Finals MVP, 50 greatest players of all time. I mean, you know, a couple people call him the greatest basketball player of all time. So, again, the one thing that I'll say, and it's not a knock, I mean, you know, the thing about it is it's tough, JQ, because the fact that Kareem wasn't really like – he wasn't a ball-dominant person as far as he wasn't like – he didn't have the ball in his hands all the time, you know. So, there's other scorers that had to be kept up on the Lakers team. So, I mean, not to say that, you know, again, not a knock on LeBron, because he's, you know, that's a great, really great accomplishment. But I think it's even greater for Kareem because there's other people to feed. You know, you had Worthy, you had, you know, Scott, you had a couple players on that Lakers team, and Magic had to get his too. So
yeah, Cooper.
For
Kareem
did. Yeah, Cooper, yeah.
James Byron Worthy,
Scott,
that
squad had
good about Big Game
too,
James.
So, yeah, I mean, so – yeah, I mean, and you're a Lakers fan, so you know exactly what you're naming all the players, too.
Yep.
So I just think the fact is that what Kareem did was still pretty spectacular with less touches. So, you know, again, LeBron, he did it in a little time, but, you know, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I hear you, but, you know, Kareem was also 7 foot. And we can't, I mean, as big as LeBron is, he ain't 7 foot tall. You know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying, you know, and I think the thing with Kareem is he gets, you know, kind of dwarfed because he lives in Magic's shadow. And I know he'll take some of that because it helped him be a better player and get those championship rings, but I think that's part of the reason why he doesn't get as much love is because, like, oh, well, he had Magic, you know what I mean? But I hear what you're saying. You know, he wasn't somebody that could take the ball to the elbow and get his own shot. So he had to be dependent on getting the ball in his spot. But when he got the ball in his spot, he was straight cash, you know what I mean, with that sky hook down there on that baseline. I hear what you're saying. I mean, like I said, I don't diminish it. I just don't think it moves the needle for LeBron. But, yeah, I think it's a bigger accomplishment for Kareem because of the points that you laid out. LeBron has this, you know, he's starting every possession just about, unless he's just resting out there on the court. But, you know, he's just to the point that where LeBron, that is, that particular stat of, you know, postseason field goals made is not going to move the needle. You know, when you start talking about points, you start talking about finals MVPs, you know, championship rings. That's where he is right now. That stat right there is not going to, you know, I think people are going to be to the point where they're just going to assume that he's already up there. If he's not the leader, he's in the top 2 or 3 already. So when they hear that, it's not like it bowls them over like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? And he kind of just gets that benefit of the doubt at this point that you just assume that he's already there.
Yeah, good call. Good call, 100%. All right, I just want to add my 2 cents to that too, man, because, again, I mean, not that I'm LeBron hating, I still think Kareem's one of the greatest players, and it's just a different era having that dominant type of center. It changed the way that basketball's played. You know, the Wilts, the Kareems of the world, and the skyhook is still the greatest shot that no one's been able to block, and I'm still surprised no one has developed that. It's crazy to me to this day. So,
yes.
Anyway.
Agree.
Good deal. All right, recap game 4, the Celtics and the Cavs here, and it looks like Rob finally joined in here, so I'm going to grab him real quick, and, you know, we can't let him let this down.
CP time. Come on, Rob.
Late to the after party, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you
know
we
ain't letting this go. You know we ain't letting this go.
I cannot lie to the listeners. Overslept?
Yeah. I told you. I said he was knocked out.
And my fellow co-hosts and friends didn't even wake me up or anything.
Oh, you're going to put that on us? You're a grown man.
You probably set the alarm, bro.
No,
man. We ain't got to wake that dude up. He a grown man. I am not listening to that. Get
on
up. Put that Jodeci on.
Oh, man.
Oh,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dre.
We're already on top of number 10, bro. So we're almost wrapping up the show, man.
Well, since he joined on that throw in, let him have it. Let him have the recap start.
Go ahead, bro.
Where are we at,
bro?
The recap of the Celtics and the Cavs. Come on, man. Topic two.
Well, obviously, Cleveland was able to bounce back by going home, but obviously Boston has struggled on the road, but they've been great at home in this series, and I don't think anything has changed with that. Obviously, LeBron James has been able to carry that team and has been absolutely phenomenal. But we finally had a playoff game where a team won by single digits here the other night too, as well, in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals. So, the series starts now. We got a best of two out of three series here in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think this is what we kind of expected, that we were going to have somewhat of a good series here. And I think that's where we're at here. You know, Cleveland were able to answer the bell. Let's see if they can win in Boston.
Now, you had a little something to
cut.
Yeah, but go ahead. Finish your thought, JQ. Go ahead. I got you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I was going to say I did not expect that. I called Boston in five, and the series is going exactly the way I thought it was going to go until yesterday when Boston just didn't show up for the start of that game. And they let Cleveland jump out in front of them, and Cleveland just was able to hold on to finish that game out. LeBron, with another 40-point performance, just being ridiculous. But, getting some help from George Hill, getting some help from Kyle Korver. I mean, the others that we talk about with Shaq and talk about TNT always generally play better at home. But Rob makes a great point. Boston don't have to win in Cleveland to win this series. I really just don't see Game Five is going to be its decision, the series decider. I don't see Boston losing at home, and I just don't see Cleveland going to Boston with that young team, because I feel like if they don't get that one, they're not going to win Game Six and Seven and win that Game Seven in Boston. I hate to say that because everybody's saying that, and I know Cleveland's back there listening like, oh, really, we can't win Game Seven in Boston? But, I mean, there's a reason why Boston hasn't lost yet at home on the playoffs. To me, it's a little surprising. Like I said, I was good through three games, but I did not see Boston showing another clunker in Game Four. I was really surprised at that by them. And I don't know if the moment's getting too big for them or if they're wearing down. But I also got to give Tyronn Lue a little bit of credit. He gets a lot of flack for not making proper adjustments, but the adjustments he made on how they defended Al Horford and cutting off the head of the snake, so to speak, because Al Horford was really driving that offense quiet as it was kept, and they made an adjustment to that, and it's paying dividends right now. And you're starting to see those young guys be young. When the spotlight gets turned up, when the pressure gets turned up, this is for the finals now. This isn't just the first round kind of thing. This is to go to the NBA finals. So I don't know if that butthole is getting a little tight in Boston in those games in Cleveland, but I still think Boston, I just don't think Cleveland is athletic enough to continue to hang with them. They got to win one of those games in Boston. If they don't get Game Five, I don't think they get Game Seven. I just don't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You were talking about that's the pivotal game. Everyone's saying that, and that's the true statement.
Yeah.
Game Five game, and I agree with you. We did not expect for it's the way that the Celtics came out. You're thinking, man, this is going to be a short series. Now, obviously, I thought, they'd get one. It wasn't going to be a week. But, again, just for whatever reason, LeBron, we make jokes about Will, but, yeah, he had a good Will. Like, let's kind of get this back under control. And it looks like the Celtics kind of, went into, a show, like you said, JQ. So now we're going to talk about did they get exposed, and now how do they control the series now, or I guess – we're going to talk about the Cavs, how they control the series, because, again, I was giving Brad Stevens all kinds of props for pushing the right buttons and, you know, making the right adjustments. And now, flip, you know, Tyronn Lue is making all the adjustments. And it seems like, you know, you don't want to give this team any confidence whatsoever, too. So did they kind of get exposed, you think, though, JQ, or what?
I don't think they got exposed, so to speak. I think it's always in a series of adjustments when you start playing the same team, you know, that often, and when you have those caliber of players. I think Boston came out and defended home court in Cleveland, and like we talked about, Tyronn Lue defending Al Horford. And they just have, I think, a greater attention to detail, Cleveland, that is, on the rotations on defense and not being lackadaisical and lazy. And if you want to be honest, outside of my prediction, Cleveland did what they were supposed to do. They held serve at home. So I don't really think it's the Celtics being exposed. I mean, they've been exposed on the road, to Rob's point. They've been awful on the road in the playoffs. So I don't really think they got exposed. I think it's time for that guy we talked about, Brad Stevens, to say, okay, they've made this adjustment on what I was doing with Al Horford. How do I then do some other things to kind of get him shaken loose? Or do I say, hey, you know, I need somebody else to also to be the focal point of this attack and free him up a little bit where they can't key on him? I think that's the adjustment that the Boston's going to have to make. Which one of those young guys it becomes the focal point so they can take some of that pressure off of Al Horford to initiate that offense and some of those other things. And I still think Boston is just too athletic, too much grit for them for Cleveland. I mean, it's just I think it might end up just being a home kind of series. Like those things happen.
Rob, did they get exposed, the Celtics?
Well, I think JQ made a great point earlier, and I was going to say the same thing. I think what you saw in these last two games at Cleveland, you saw the Rozier's, you saw the Tatum's, and you saw the Jaylen Brown's really look like young 20-year-old players. And they just did not play well on the road in that series. And you have to also remember that Cleveland has number 23, LeBron James, over there as well. and so I think that's part of it as well. And, you know, it's hard to say. I just think that Cleveland just responded. And I'm not going to say this is kind of the way it's been going the whole playoffs for Boston. So I'm not going to say they got exposed just yet. If Cleveland could do the same thing in Game 5 and dominate the way they have in the last couple of years, I mean, last couple of games, then I may go along the lines and say that someone is finally figuring it out. But, hey, you know, you go back to that first-round series against Milwaukee, and this is the way that series went. Boston won all the home games. Milwaukee won all their home games, and it was a 4-3 series. Boston was able to steal one on the road against Philadelphia, but other than that, this is mostly how their playoffs have been going so far. They've been winning at home. They've been losing on the road. And so until something changes, I'm not going to say they've been exposed. Boston will have to lose a home game before I think somebody's really figured them out. I mean, that crowd in Boston has been phenomenal in the playoffs, too.
It has. And LeBron touched on it. He said, they don't care who you are. If you ain't wearing Celtics green, you're the enemy, and they are not for you. And he was like, yeah, you got that right. You are going into a very hostile environment.
So, Rob, I guess, do the Cavs kind of control the series now, or is it just like you said, is it just kind of like just being young and experience, or kind of what do you think as far as that?
Well, I think they've got some momentum right now, that's for sure. You know, we'll see if they can carry them over into the into a Game 5 road victory against Boston. But I don't think they control the series right now. Obviously, like I said, Boston still has the home court advantage. They haven't lost that yet. And so I would say Boston controls the series still, but Cleveland has got a little bit of confidence. They got a little bit of momentum going into Game 5. Let's see if they could be the first team that can get over the hump in Boston here in the playoffs and win on the road.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't think they control it. Again, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. If you look at it on paper, Boston won the first two at home. Cleveland responded, to Rob's point, and they won theirs. And, I mean, like you said, they've got that guy over there, number 23. Mama, there go that man. And your bench players generally play better at home. The thing about it for Boston is, can they come out – no, sorry, the thing about it for Cleveland is, can they come out on the road with that same intensity from the others and put forth that kind of effort in that hostile environment? Because if they can't figure that out, you know, in Game 5, I mean, even if you say they win Game 6 and they didn't figure it out in Game 7, that's a lot to put on them when they haven't figured it out at any other point during the series. So So that's really who it comes down to. I tell you like this. I'm sorry. I was thinking about it when I was watching the other game. If I'm LeBron James, you know, he was exhausted after that 40-point performance. I would have got some rest, and I would, as I was getting some rest and some treatment, I would have gotten Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson, and George Hill in a group text message and said, hey, I need y'all to meet me at the gym, and laid it out for him, just like I said. I need y'all. Tristan, you've been doing it. I need you to keep doing it. But the other guys that we traded for, this is what we traded for. This is what you wanted to be in, to, you know, be to play with a good player, great players, and have a chance to win an NBA title. This is now. I need you, your best effort. I need you right now. There is no more time to figure it out. You got to do it now. I don't know if that happened, but if I was him, that's what I would have done. He has to have those four guys come out and play out of their skulls to win two of the next three.
Yep. There you go. Good call. So we talked about it. So you touched about it. So, Rob, what do you think about his 44-point performance tonight? Is that just like, you know, literally? Yeah, talk about that.
You know, when you're really looking at it, if there's ever a quiet 44, it was somewhat of a quiet 44. And he didn't fill up the rest of the stat sheet like he normally does, too, in that game. But he was very efficient with the basketball, obviously very efficient with the shooting. He came up big down the stretch to seal the victory as well. But if there ever was a quiet 44, that was one of those games. As a matter of fact, Steph Curry the other night had 35, not talking about tonight, but two nights ago in that game. To me, that was a more of a emphatic 35 points versus LeBron's 44 on last night. So it was somewhat of a quiet 44, but he was very efficient with the basketball, very efficient with the shooting. And the seven turnovers could have cost him on last night. So he still has to take care of the basketball in that area. But, I mean, you can't question his dominance and the way he's carrying his team. I mean, when you really look, do a deep dive into this Cleveland Cavaliers team, in my opinion, this talent around LeBron James is not worthy of even making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so it's incredible how far this team has been able to get to with the talent that he has on that team.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. No, he's right, and that's why I say I would have called those four dudes and say the time is now. If you want me to stay here and I need you guys to come on and do this, and we put this eighth pick in the first round with us and see if we can make some magic here and do something. So I agree with him. The thing about Curry is that, you know, he just hit a blitzkrieg there in the beginning of that second half where he just went nuts. Where LeBron's was more measured, it was more even across the game. You just looked up and he had 41 points, whatever it was, and was like, damn, LeBron, you know, goodness gracious, you take it for granted. And it seems effortlessly. But then, you know, he disappears at times. But I think he's out there resting a lot of those times and trying to get the other guys off. But I agree with Rob. This is not a team. If you take him off of that and you look at that and you replace him with some other star, do they even make the finals in the Eastern Conference? I would say no. So it's a testament to his will that they were able to battle back again. They were on the ropes against Indiana a little bit, on the ropes against Boston, and they're showing up. I mean, gotta give him credit.
Yeah. Yeah, that word is battle-tested, my friend. You know, you've been there a couple times, and you kind of get that's it. And that's what we're talking about, too, the performance and kind of how that comes into play, too. It's, you know, like you said, yeah, he's going to need some help. This is the game to get some help, you know, going into Game 5. So this is probably when he's texting folks, JQ, like, all right, guys, off the territory. We got to turtle, you know, we got to come out and, you know, don't pucker up here. But this is going to be a deciding game for sure, 100%. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick recap.
When you look at what LeBron James has been able to do with lesser talent throughout his career, you go back to that first finals against Golden State. Obviously, they lost the series 4-2, but if you remember that series, LeBron James didn't have Kyrie Irving nor Kevin Love. And at one point in that series, Cleveland was actually up in the series. And you know, Matthew Dellavedova was the second-best player on his team at that point. And they were able to win 2 games against the Golden State Warriors. I think that was the series, if I'm not mistaken. No, I don't think that was the one. I think it was the second year they played Golden State in the finals where he led the series in both points, rebounds, and assists. And last year was the one where he led him in five categories: rebounds, assists, points, steals, and blocks. And but that was just, if you can ever, you know, give somebody some praise in a losing situation, I mean, that was phenomenal. And you're seeing another example of it this year. This team has no business being in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, I'm watching this game here. Hold on, it looks like the something happened. Let's recap here. As far as
it looks like we might have a 2-2 series here.
It looks like it. What are they reviewing? If brother hit the rim? No.
If he got fouled or something like that.
No, you can't review a foul.
Hold on, what are they reviewing?
You can't review a foul.
Hold on, what are they reviewing?
I don't know what they're reviewing.
Yeah.
Sorry, America, this is right on what – that's crazy. This is right about what we're going to talk about. What are they reviewing? Can't review fouls.
Yeah, it hits the rim.
Or whether it was a shot clock violation before it was over. That's what it is. Was it a shot clock violation because it didn't hit the rim before it went to triple zeros? I think they're going to put like 0.5 or something crazy back on the clock.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that's a recap, y'all.
Hey, we're giving you live updates, America.
Right on us, too. So,
That's insane, the timing of that. Yes, America, this is exactly what we're going to talk about. This point in the show was going to be a recap or a touch point of what was happening in the Houston Golden State game. How did they give him a foul on the review? At least for missed free throw. So it's a 2-point game. And Houston trying to salt this away. I mean, if they hold on to this game, wow, what a statement. I mean, I don't know if you watched the beginning of this game, but it was 12-0 Golden State, and they were going to look like they were going to run Houston out the gym. And the response by Houston, they'll come back and go up 10, and then they go down 10, and they come back again with a strong fourth quarter on the road. I mean, oof. Listen.
And after that game three, the way Golden State just destroyed Houston by 41 points, that was unbelievable. And I mean, I just didn't see a response from Houston like this tonight. I really didn't. And I'm happy though, but I really didn't see this coming. And I thought for sure Golden State was going to go up with an emphatic 3-1 series lead. I thought Houston was completely done the other night. And they, come on, when the last time you saw a number one seed get beat by 41 points? I don't care if it's home or away. That's
right.
Unbelievable.
Yes,
and it is kind of good. You know, my thoughts after that game three victory, you know, I've said this on the show. I said this Golden State team, you know, you can put them up against the Lakers dynasty in the 2000s. You can put them up against the Bulls teams in the 90s. I mean, those teams out together beat another one seed by 41 points. And it's funny, I've been saying it on the show, not that I agree with everything Colin Cowherd says, but it's funny that I heard him on the radio saying the exact same thing that I've been saying, and that those teams wouldn't be able to match up. But when you think about it, Andre Iguodala is the fifth best player on this team. He could still be on another team being an all-star in this league, and he's the fifth best player on this Golden State Warriors team. I mean,
man, you stop it. They would have no answer for Shaq. They would have no answer for Shaq. He would foul Draymond Green out.
The Lakers got an answer for all 3-point shooters to go to State guy? They hit threes on the other end.
No, they also got the other guy named Kobe Bean Bryant. That's crazy talk. I'm just going to just agree to disagree on that.
All right, so you think those two stars will beat five All-Stars?
I do. Because Shaq and Kobe were so dominant. That switching defenses they played, Golden State would have to play a totally different brand of basketball against that. And Shaq would give them issues down low. He would be fouling folks out.
They would. But I think Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant can contain Kobe. I'm not going to say they're going to stop him. But with Kevin Durant, you saw OKC's first year in the playoffs, how Durant defended Kobe Bryant well. With this length, he was giving Kobe fits. So I would say even in both of their primes, they would be able to contain Kobe. And like I said, I don't like the Lakers. I don't like the Warriors. So it's kind of hard for me to be.
But
looking at it from a true sports fan, a true analyst of the game, I mean, Durant and Klay Thompson could give Kobe problems. I mean, they're not going to contain him. I don't think anybody can straight up shut him down. But I think they can give him fits with some matchups problems. And the thing about it is they're going to make Kobe work on the other end too. And they will make Shaq work on the other end too because of the way they spread the floor. And the spacing of the game, too. I mean, and I just think, you know, those five All-Stars, I mean, they will run the Lakers out of the gym with their offense and the way they play the game.
That's insane, crazy talk, America. The boy Lakers would be way too physical with them.
He's defending the Bulls teams of the 90s.
Well, the thing about it is because they don't have that altering, game changing down in the middle thing. I think Golden State would be more apt to play their brand of basketball against that Bulls team as opposed to having a face like we talked about before you joined when you were asleep. When we talked about Kareem being that focal point down low before for that Lakers team. That changes the whole dynamic of how you have to play. And Draymond can't be Draymond. And can he get them going the way that he can in this kind of flow? Because he's going to be in foul trouble and worn out trying to bang with Shaq. I just don't see that happening. I think that changes the way they play. I'm not saying they will run.
I think it does a little bit. You're right. It would change the way they play a little bit because they're going to have to go to JaVale McGee or somebody just to get somebody down there with some size. And Kevin Looney. They'll have to play those seven-footers a little bit more. So
hey,
I would agree with that. They're all
going
to have to change their style of play a little bit. But
yes.
I think the Lakers will have just as hard a time as well with the way the Warriors spread the ball around. Their spacing, especially if they go to their whatever they call that five they play.
The Hampton lineup. They changed it to the Hampton five now.
Yeah, it was the depth lineup. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. When they go to that lineup and when they space it, all those guys can really shoot the basketball, which allows you to. Shaq's got to come out and defend. I mean, you're taking them out of the paint on the defensive end.
Yeah. Again, you know, whenever you were asleep, Rob, we were talking about that earlier. We were talking about Kareem and
how. y'all like saying that, huh?
Oh man, we're talking about different because you know Kareem. You know, even though it's like your team is kind of a different, you know, focus on offense. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, certain people more ball dominant and little things like that too. So that would be very interesting for that matchup too, as far as team versus, you know, kind of how it plays out. But you know, I just had to add my two cents on that just to kind of, you know, throw it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. all right. So let's talk about this. Is Mike D'Antoni a great coach? That's for you.
Hell no.
JQ.
No, he's not a great coach. I mean, we want to get carried away. Like, I know that other great coaches have had good players, but I really feel like in his case, he had, at that time, I'll give him credit for introducing that 8 seconds or less, but he also has Steve Nash to be his trigger man. You saw when he didn't have that, how he flopped in New York and L.A., and now you're walking him into, you know, a GM giving him a lot of good talent. He's got, Chris Paul and James Harden. It's like, yeah, he's got a really good team. He's not messing it up, but when I say he's a great coach, I mean, and he's a good coach. He's not a great coach.
Well, he's not a great coach, in my opinion. I totally agree. I mean, he hasn't won a championship. He's had some really good teams in Phoenix with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire, and he's got another team that's in contention right now. But until he can actually win the championship and hold the trophy up, I'm not going to call him a great coach. And you know, you look at throughout the history that he's been a head coach in this league, his teams have been very poor on the defensive end. Now, obviously, they like that certain pace of the game, which is going to make teams score a lot of points, including him, of course. But his teams, a lot of people made the case that, you know, James Harden this year has got better on the defensive end. I still say he's all beard and no defense. And you saw that on game three the other night when the way Golden State just torched him. Even Sean Livingston was going around dunking the ball on him. And so, I mean, I think he still struggles a little bit on the defense again. And they went at him on that night. Now, obviously, the better showing tonight and getting the victory, you know, keeping Golden State under 100 points. But let's see. You know, you gotta hold up a trophy to be great.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Bottom line. Yep. And we talked about that too, Rob, whenever you were asleep about other things and how certain players were going to be able to overcome.
We're gonna count how many times y'all gonna say that on the show. Say what's that, number five?
We gotta get to double digits.
Yeah. So Rob, who are the top 10 players in the NBA today?
I think James Harden's gonna win MVP, and that's just based on his team having the best record in the league. But I still think the best player in the league is still LeBron James. When you look at, we just talked about it, how far he's brought this Cleveland team with the talent that's around him this year. When you look at the way he's been performing in the playoffs, he's been the best player in these playoffs as well. And so I still think it's still LeBron James. And number two, even though he's been up and down in the playoffs, I think Kevin Durant's the second best player in the league. When he gets it going, he's almost unstoppable. He can shoot over anybody. And over the last few years, he's become an even better defensive player in the league, too, as well. He's been good on that end of the floor. They've been allowing him to roam on defense, get block shots and get steals. He caused havoc with his length. So you've seen him improve on that end, which has really helped Golden State be a better defensive team here in the last couple of years. And as we saw in Game 3 the other night, when Steph Curry gets it going, I have him at the number 3 spot. When he gets it going, I mean, that Golden State team is really unstoppable. And I know we're going to get to that topic here soon, Durant or Curry, who's most important to the Warriors. But we'll talk about that in a second. But when Curry gets it going, especially in Oakland, that place just lights up. It's electric. And, he hasn't been great in the early part of the series, in Games 1 and Game 2. He bounced back with Game 3. So I have him at 3 right now. Number 4, I'm going to say, even though I say he's all beard and no defense, his offense makes up for it a lot. So I still got James Harden in the number 4 spot. He's going to be the league MVP on this year. You can make a case, and I know Mike D'Antoni says it a lot, he's the best one-on-one player in the game in basketball. Number 5, I was having a close call between Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, but I put Davis up there because I think he's an ascending player. I think he's an ascending player. He's also a very unselfish player, and I think he has become a face of that franchise and has elevated other players around him. And obviously, as you see, he's in the final 3 for the MVP voting this year as well, even though we know it's going to go to James Harden. He's been able to take the Pelicans to another level this year. Russell Westbrook, the only reason I put Davis ahead of him, was the deciding factor to me, is I still haven't seen Russell Westbrook make other players around him better. I mean, the dominance performances by him are obviously outstanding. He plays hard every single night. You got to get that to him. He's always playing at 100% level. You see guys in the league take nights off. Russell Westbrook does not. He brings it. But the only thing, like I said, that he still has to find a way to do, he has to find a way to elevate the play of the rest of his teammates. And that's the reason why if he's the one-man game, he's getting knocked out in the first round versus a guy like LeBron James, who's a one-man game and able to take his team far. It also helps that LeBron is in the East, too. But until Russell Westbrook is able to do that, you have to, put these other guys ahead of him, even though he's just as good of a talent. Number 7, I got the Greek Freak, Milwaukee. He's another guy, though, I like to start seeing him start to elevate the rest of his teammates. But from a talent perspective, you could put him up there with LeBron James when it comes to the talent, but he hasn't been able to do some of the things that LeBron has been able to do yet as far as advancing his team. So you would like to see him start taking that next level. I thought they had a shot against Boston in getting past the first round. But when you look at what he's doing, his mid-range game is it's almost unstoppable. He can get to the rack whenever he wants to. He's got extremely long arms, cause havoc on the defensive end. Like to start seeing him improve his three-point shot to take that next step in his game, just, you know, be able to spread it out even a little bit more. But when you look at what he does all-around game, he's a stat sheet stuffer. Number eight, Chris Paul, still probably the best natural point guard in the game. You know, when he's on, and so I have him at the number eight spot. A guy that might surprise you a little bit who I have up here is Joel Embiid. When you look at the way he's been able to spread the floor out, you know, probably has become the best center in the game. He's able to step out on the three-point line. He's doing it in the post. He's doing it on the defensive end. So he has really improved his basketball game. And number 10, I'm going to put him there, even though he didn't play most of this entire season. But when he's healthy, he's probably a top five player, and that's Kawhi Leonard. And I just threw him in there for good measure. You know, when it comes to when he's healthy, he's probably the best on-the-ball defender on the wing of any player in the league. And he also gets it done on the offensive end. He's really improved his outside shot as well. And prior to this season, when he's been out, he's really gotten better every single season. He's been the NBA Finals MVP as well. He, like I said, when he's healthy, he's clearly probably one of the better five players in our game. In the NBA.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So just take you. We got a minute. We got like a minute to finish up before we get to the OT. So I just want to throw that out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Nope. I agree with 9 of those 10, but the one I take umbrage with is Chris Paul. And you can talk about Dame Leonard, you can talk about maybe even John Wall, but not having Kyrie in the top 10, I know he got hurt, but I will put Kyrie in that top 10 over Chris Paul. And I know we're splitting hairs when we talk about that, but what I've seen from Kyrie, and he's got a ring to your point of the greatness, and you got to have a title behind your name. He was arguably could have been a co-MVP with LeBron that year, hit the game winner in Golden State. So I'm going to go with Kyrie over Chris Paul in that top 10. But everything else I agree with.
Yeah. I can't argue too much with that. The only reason I would put Chris Paul over, he's just done it a lot longer. And Kyrie, obviously, he was phenomenal in that series, but he still had LeBron James there with him as well. And Dame Lillard, I thought about Lillard as well. I really gave Lillard very strong consideration. But he was totally non-existent in this year's playoffs. And that just really, to me, just knocked him down.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Finish it up, Rob. Might as well. Let's wrap this up because we got 10 seconds. Let's get to the OT portion, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in. I apologize once again being late to the party. My co-host, you know, they didn't do a good job of ringing my phone and making sure I was there on time. So I put all the blame on him. The brother's supposed to have another brother's back, but, you know, it's all good. I'm going to forgive him this time. But I apologize again for being a little late to the show. You know, brother needed a little sleep and he overslept. So you can put me down for being tardy on today, and we'll make up for it on the next go-round. But our next show will be on Sunday night, June 3rd. So we're about taking about a week and a half off, Sunday night, June 3rd. We probably will be preparing you for the NBA Finals around that time. We'll probably know who our teams are. I think we definitely will know who our teams are at that stage. So Sunday, June 3rd. We'll also get into some recaps for some of the NFL teams and OTAs and mini camps and things of that nature, of any news in that area. We'll start getting you ready, preparation and getting you some predictions going here for the regular season in the NFL. And also we'll try to start sneaking in some college football. And, of course, we didn't have any Major League Baseball tonight, but we'll get you some by June 3rd and talk a little baseball on that. Go Yankees. All right, join us next Sunday, the following Sunday, June 3rd, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss our show on that night. Continue to follow us on Twitter, and we'll continue to get some great information out there for you in the sports world. Good night, people.
All right.
He said bump that 10 seconds. Yeah, that's a grown man, though. So he got to wake his own self up. Listen, you better put 18 alarms on if you wasn't a vampire in Brooklyn. And we wake up and, you know, go to bed at night, you wouldn't be so tired waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and going to bed at 11. Just crazy. Get some sleep. Go to bed. Catch some Z's. We appreciate everybody for listening to this show as well. We love you for hanging in there with us. We're going to take a little mini break. Also, probably be getting ready for some NBA draft coverage as well, right?
Yeah.
So,
I was just getting ready to say that. You'll probably have another mock from me soon, too.
Yeah. So stay hanging with us. We appreciate all the love and support. We'll holler at y'all later.
And I will say this, you know, we've been kind of busting Rob's chops the whole show. But, you know, the thing is, on the real, we always talk about Rob, like Rob's going to slide in, like he always, like last minute, and that's what we figured out was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
too. So, I mean, that's why, like, we didn't call him. Like,
well, lately, you got to admit, I've been calling in about 10 minutes early.
Well, not 10, like 5, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been on before both of you guys. I've been on there waiting.
That's not the norm. That's not the norm, though, because typically I call him and Jason calls him. So typically we're thinking, okay, he's going to come
in. It's funny. I usually set two alarms, but for some reason it looks like I forgot to set the second one.
Well, just turn the first one up. I mean, goodness gracious, you just can't go into a slumber. You damn bear.
He said slumber. I love it.
Hey, man, I got up at 1:30 last night.
I mean, but see, essentially, right. that's why, and then you talking for us to, like, bail you out. We're like, okay, we know that you normally, that's your M.O., like, try to slide in
mm-hmm.
like, for the tag, man. So that's what I think you're probably going to call me. You know, so,
y'all supposed to be, man. I am my brother's keeper.
Man, see how
you blame us? You got to stay out the trap. That's what it is. If you stay out the trap with his burner phone, then, you know, he can wake up on time and join the call.
Oh, man. This is what it's all about.
Man.
Meet me in the trap.
Hey,
it's going down.
Thank you. Remember that night we were waiting on Andre, man? We were ringing Andre's phones off the hook, both of us. We were calling him. We were texting him. Man, I didn't get a call. I didn't get nothing, man. But a text.
That's because you are normally late, so we figured you was gonna slide in. We was
exactly
like, oh, he ain't here. Uh oh. So I guess we're just gonna carry out.
I'm telling you, we really thought you were gonna jump in like last night, like you always do. So then I hit you up and I said, all right, well, I guess. So we're thinking, all right. So I mean, it's not normal. So that's again for the 15th time, trying to like pass the blame. We assume that you were jumping in a little later, so there you go. But
tell me to stop shooting dice with Lil Wayne.
Stop what?
We got four more topics to knock out, and we'll let Rob really have sleep. How about that? So on a real note,
yeah, it is.
Let's talk about the most important warrior, Curry or Durant, and I'll throw that out to you, JQ.
Man, that's tough. That's a 1A, 1B. But, and Rob talked about it, and I'm going a different direction. What Curry can do energy-wise for that team and for that arena, and it gets everybody going, and it just feels like once he gets going, everything else, they just start to go downhill on their opponent. And don't get me wrong, Kevin Durant is phenomenal. But he just doesn't have that Curry ability to go on a one-man blitz in the manner that he can, where he comes up and just flips, you know, 28 footers and it's all net. And you come back and he does it again. Then he gives you, you know, a pump fake and a shimmy shake and go to the rim. And, you know, he's gone on an 8-10 run by himself. And you're just like, damn, that took like a minute and 3 seconds. And you were up 2. Now you're down 8. And you're just sitting there like, what can you do against that? It's that ability that he has to galvanize that team in that arena. And just you just feel like the roof is going to come off of Oracle when he gets it going like that. And even when Durant is going well, they get excited. But it's like Curry just takes it to another stratosphere. So just for that reason alone, for me, I'm going to say Curry because he has that ability just to uplift everything. And not only uplift it quickly, like, you know, a snap of the finger.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was exactly going. I was, you know, I kind of hinted at that early, and that's exactly the direction I was going with as well. I think Durant is a better player, but I think Curry is the most important for their success. And
mm-hmm.
you saw how dominant they were when Curry was on game three. I mean, they obviously had a really good, solid game tonight, 28.6-13 from the three-point line. And but man, when he gets to going, especially in Oakland, that arena just lights up for him. And as you saw here, you read his lips, you know, after that drive to game three, where he said, this is my effing house. Yeah, I mean, he turned to the crowd and said, this is my effing house. And you read his lips, but man, when he gets going, that place is just is extremely electric, and they just feed off of that. They feed off of that crowd. And what you saw, even in that game three, you saw them feed off that energy, help their defense. I mean, they were just outstanding on the defensive end in that game as well. And they just fed off of that crowd. They was doing – Houston just couldn't do anything right in that game. And most of it started with the blitz from Steph Curry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that he's a one-man blitz that, like, nobody else can be in the league. And that's what sets him apart. And that's why he's going to get that nod over, like you said, I think a better all-around player in Durant. But that ability just to catch fire like that is just in a heartbeat. It's just, you know, it just seems like he can almost flip the switch and do it. And like I said, he goes on that 8-10-0 run personally, and you look up like, well, damn, time out. What the hell just happened? And it's hard to put into words.
Yep, good call. Yeah, and I think another key stat was, like, even before, I mean, Curry won the championship without Durant, but then, you know, Durant came a little later on. Obviously, he was able to get this championship too. So you talk about how important that is. Defenses have changed because of Curry, the fact that he can just pull up anywhere. Don't get me wrong, having Durant definitely makes that team more dynamic, but just at this juncture, you know, right now, I agree with both of you that Curry's kind of the guy in this instance too. And maybe Durant has kind of taken a step back and letting Curry kind of lead the team, and there will be a time whenever, you know, Curry's, hey, you know, you got it, you know, kind of take that too. So, you know, maybe that's something with that too as well, for sure.
One interesting point I want to bring out that a lot of people don't talk about, you know, Steph Curry has yet to have a great NBA Finals.
Yeah, that's a good call. You're right.
He's yet to have a great NBA Finals in their three appearances in the NBA Finals. The first one, obviously, Andre Iguodala. That was the one they did not have Kevin Durant, but Iguodala was the Finals MVP. Yeah, and Curry did not shoot the ball well in that Finals. And if you remember, Dellavedova gave him fits in that series. And he did not play well. And obviously, in the second year, I know there's a lot of talk that he wasn't really 100% in that series. And he didn't play well in that one. And then last year, he didn't really have a great finals either. You know, Kevin Durant kind of carried him. And he's yet to be a finals MVP in their two championships. So he hasn't shown up yet in the NBA finals. So I don't think a lot of people talk about that, but he really has not when you really do a deep dive into the situation. And if they make it to the finals this year, it'll be interesting to see if he could finally, you know, show up big for that team in the NBA Finals.
That's a good call.
Very good call. All right. Let's make some tracks here as we transition to NFL. Let's wrap these last couple topics here. Again, we've been kind of staying away from a lot of controversy, but right out the gate, can Colin Kaepernick be a starting quarterback in the NFL? That's for you, JQ.
I mean, you know how I feel about it. I absolutely believe that. I believe NFL teams believe that as well. They just don't want to have the questions being asked from their end. Like I said before, I think they're missing a golden opportunity to get ahead of the situation and be a forefront and be a pioneer of leading a bit of a revolution by embracing it instead of running away from it. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady. I'm not saying that because that's not who he is. But when we see some of the caliber starting quarterbacks and the guys that are being assigned, you know, I just, you know, I totally believe that if he's not, he's on the low end of a starting quarterback, and I will definitely admit that he's in the bottom, you know, four. He's in that 28 to 32, I think. But what he can most definitely be is a very capable backup if somebody goes down to come in and spot duty in a 2 to 4 game kind of stretch and keep the ship afloat until you get your starter back. And so I think he definitely has a place in this league. And again, you know, to me, it's bigger than that right now for him. I think, that, again, the NFL, as every hour and every day ticks off the calendar, they've missed an opportunity to be a pioneer in this conversation and in this argument in this country. And they're missing. I just don't feel like as much money as they made off the backs of these brothers. You should do your duty and look at it and say, you know what, we've gained so much from them. How about we help them out in this situation and give them a platform and not try to snatch the platform from underneath their feet? So I think that's the bigger question about it when you talk about Colin, not whether he can play, because I think we all know he can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially when you look at some of the guys that were starting in the league on last year. And if you look at it just from the football point of view, you know, some of the guys that were starting in the NFL last season was just absurd. And it's still good. Obviously, you know, there's still a lot of hurt about the kneel for the national anthem. And the NFL, you know, won't come out and say it, but we all know that's what's going on. It's a black ball. It's still a league deep down. It's still got some racism involved. It's still a league that's still got that good old boy network, and that still exists. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
That still exists. That still goes on in the NFL, and you know, the league still has got that image of quarterback being the golden boy. You know, for your team, and he just didn't fit the perception or the image that they're looking for at the quarterback position, and they're kind of blackballing him now. But you go, like I said, there's five or six quarterbacks that started in the National Football League last year that had no business starting in the National Football League.
Yep.
And so I totally agree.
I'm looking at you.
Let's say, I don't think he's a top 20 quarterback in the league, but I think when you look at some of the guys that started, he still deserved to be a starting quarterback in the league.
He's better than Joe.
Who did San Francisco start off last season before the Garoppolo trade? Was it Brian Hoyer?
Nobody.
Yeah, whoever it was nobody. You're right. No, it wasn't Hoyer. Was it
Shucks. It don't matter. Nobody.
It was a guy who was a bust. He was an early draft pick.
I don't remember because he don't matter.
Yeah, it don't matter.
It
exactly. That proves our point even more. We can't even remember the dude's name.
Right, because he was a nothing, and that's it. Like, I'll agree with you. He's not a top 20 quarterback, but there's 32 teams in the league. So, yeah, he's a top 64 quarterback for sure. So there's a place for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
Whew. All right, gentlemen, let's wrap this up here. So, again, I thought I was really going to try to pull something out and try to get the name of the quarterback. Yeah, that's just how just disgusting that was, too. Was it C.J. Beathard, I think it was. Is that him? Is that who we're thinking
of? No, it wasn't Blaine. They yelled, yanked. It don't matter. He was a bust. So let's just move on from it before we get too wound up.
You're right.
Yeah, you're Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert,
yeah. That's all right. Hey, Rob, top 10 teams in the NFC heading into the season, Rob.
Well, if you look at what the Rams have been able to do in the offseason, you know, you would think that they will be the team that will be in the number one spot right now. So I'm going to start them there. When you look at their offensive standpoint now with the Brandon Cooks addition, obviously the way Ty Gurley finished the season, Jared Goff starting another year under Sean McVay. They made some enhancements on their offensive line. And don't talk about how many enhancements they made on defense with the two cornerbacks. And then I've also getting Ndamukong Suh. So on paper, they look like an all-star team going into the season. And we'll see if it translates. We've seen these kind of things happen before when teams put together these kind of teams and the chemistry is not quite there. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for the time being from the talent standpoint. I have them at the number one position at the moment in the NFC. Number two, I'm going to go.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
That reminds me of the Dream Team. Remember the Eagles of the Dream Team back in the day? They tried to grab all the players. Mm-hmm. Man, that didn't go anywhere. I'm sorry. Yep, yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you can even go to when Dame Snyder used to put together those Dream Teams in Washington. I mean, he would pay boatloads of money. He was trying to build a championship team, and it just never – most of those teams don't even think made the playoffs.
They didn't.
And with the Redskins. So it doesn't guarantee you anything, but we'll see. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt right now and put them at the number one spot Number two, I have my beloved New Orleans Saints. I have them at the number two spot. I expect them to be an even better team on defense this year. I mean, they showed a lot of improvements on last year. They've made some additions in the cornerback position to go along with Marshawn Lattimore, who should probably be better going into the second year. Cameron Jordan, and then getting Marcus Davenport gives them another pass rusher, which they desperately needed, you know, for this defense. And then, of course, offensively, they've made even a few enhancements as well. You know, going out and getting some help at the tight end and the wide receiver position, and getting some more depth on the offensive line as well. So I have them at the number two spot. Number three, I have the Vikings. Say what?
Say surprise.
Oh, number three, I have the Vikings. And so obviously, you know, their defense, who I still expect to be good under Mike Zimmer, and probably will be slightly better play at the quarterback position from Kirk Cousins as well. And you get the running back from Florida State. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden on his
Dalvin
name. He
Cook.
Went out early.
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook. And so you're getting him back as another element to that offense, give them another breakaway type of player on your offense. And so I think it's going to be really good. Kirk Cousins can get the ball downfield a little bit better than the previous quarterback. And then those receivers that they have are studs. And one of the areas on offense that they needed enforcement was the offensive line. They did exactly that. They needed some more depth at the cornerback position and on defense. They took care of that as well. So you expect them to be better in some of those areas as well. Number four, I know I dropped the defending Super Bowl champions all the way down to four.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my concern. I don't think Carson Wentz is going to be ready to play from day one. I know they were able to win with Nick Foles, you know, down the stretch of the season. But can they do that with teams preparing for him on a regular basis? They had a whole offseason to prepare for him. You know, we'll see. I still think they're going to be a really good team. And but they're not going to have Carson Wentz on day one. And they lost a few pieces on that defense as well. And so we'll see if they could make up for some of those losses as well. So I did drop them down a little bit. But they obviously they can prove me wrong, but I did drop them down to number four. Number five, I have the Atlanta Falcons at the number five positions. Even though they weren't necessarily needs, but I love their two first-round picks to give them another weapon on offense and give them some depth on the defense and the cornerback position, and which today you really need three or four good corners on your football team. And with the way the league has evolved as far as the passing game is concerned. And so even though it wasn't necessarily a real big need, I think those are two very good draft picks for the Atlanta Falcons and can give them some depth at both of those positions. And if you really saw the Falcons, Julio Jones had a lot of drops last year. They didn't really have many other options after him in the passing game last year. So, in my opinion, that's a solid pick. And the only area of concern that Atlanta still may have to look at addressing here or try to get some improvement from within is going to be that offensive line. And seeing if Matt Ryan, if they could protect them better than they did last year. Let's see where am I at. Number six may be a slight surprise to you. I moved 49ers all the way up to number six. When you look at the way they played last year, Jimmy Garoppolo was absolutely phenomenal. And so we'll see if that can carry over. They've made some enforcements on defense, and I expect them to be better on that side of the football going into the season as well. And so this was a team that was playing as good as anybody in the league toward the end of the year. I think they finished the season with a 5-0 record, winning their last five games. So I expect some of that to carry over into next season. They can have a chance to be a really good team. And so which makes that old 49ers-Rams rivalry. That should be really interesting back like it was back in the 70s and the 80s. 49ers and the Rams. And number seven, the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers coming back is going to elevate that team as well. And I struggled with the Packers because, you know, they're a team that I think can be anywhere between four and seven on this list. Right now I have them at number seven. But, I mean, they went out and got Jimmy Graham. They're another team that made some nice defensive additions as well. And obviously you're getting Aaron Rodgers healthy again this season. So they're a team that I think has a really good chance of competing with the Vikings for that NFC North title this season.
Shout out Big Mike.
So that should be – say what?
I was like, shout out Big Mike.
Shout out Big Mike. Yeah.
Oh.
yeah, I agree.
Number eight, it may be a surprise, too. I think Tampa Bay surpasses Carolina, and Carolina falls to the last place in the NFC South. And so I got Tampa Bay moving up to number eight. I know JQ has been picking Tampa Bay to win the division for like the last 3 years. But I think this might be the year where you finally start to see them really in contention. Even at the end of the year, you started to see some progress from Jameis Winston. That defense has really been playing well, and now I've been able to add Vita Vea to the mix on their defense. And the way they've been playing, they got some more cornerback help as well. So I expect them to be a lot better, and they have the weapons. And watch Ronald Jones at the running back position from USC. I think he really ascended on a lot of teams' boards. He can run the football between the tackles. He can take it to the house. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he's going to be in the running for Rookie of the Year in the National Football League. So watch him at the running back position. I think he's going to be a real stud, and I think it was a heck of a pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have a chance, in my opinion, to not only make it as a wild card, I think they're going to be competing for the NFC South title as well. I think they have a chance to be that good. Number nine. I struggle between the Lions or the Panthers, but right now I got Matthew Stafford and the Lions there. With the new coach, I have them at the number nine position. And number 10, I have the Panthers. And the only reason I dropped the Panthers down is I think you're starting to see some of their age on defense. Even with Luke Kuechly, you know, Thomas Davis is going to be out for four games. They lost one of their better offensive guards, and so we have to see how they're going to respond on the defensive lines and the offensive lines and even from the linebacker position when you look at it. So I think you're starting to see them kind of, you know, hit a wall on the defensive end. Obviously, Cam Newton, in a lot of cases, can keep them in a lot of games, but I think you're going to see a drop-off from that team this year. So I have them at the 10th position. But I almost picked the Bears in 10. I think they've improved so much here in the offseason as well. But I still just need to see more out of Mitch Trubisky before I can put them over the Panthers.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I would go with the Rams 1. I would drop your Saints down. You home for you. I will put the Eagles at number 2. And I will put the Vikings at number 3. I think I will put the Saints and the Falcons somewhere in that 4 or 5. You know, I think you can make a case either way. I would take out probably San Francisco. I hear what you're saying, but you got another offseason, people have kind of figured them out. I'm going to say something wild, and I'm not putting them all the way up in the San Francisco spot because I think you forgot somebody. I would take San Francisco out, and I would take out Detroit, and I would replace them with Dallas. You're going to get a full season without that whole debacle of Ezekiel Elliott. I will put Dallas in that top 10. And sneaking into the back end of it, the Giants getting Saquon Barkley and getting the tackle from New England, and then you're getting a healthy OBJ back. I mean, Evan Ingram actually played well for them, Sterling Shepard, and they had good help on defense as well. If they can get anything from Eli, I mean, he's got a lot of talent around him. I feel like they can sneak into that conversation at 10. And of course, that doesn't put them in the playoffs. But I don't see them, you know, being a third, you know, picking the first round again next year. I think Eli doesn't have any excuses now. I mean, if all those guys stay healthy with the talent they've assembled kind of in New York, they have a chance to get into it.
Yeah, I thought you were very strongly about the Giants as well. I tell you why I didn't put them in my top 10, and that's because I'm still having huge concerns about them on the defensive side of football. I don't think they're going to be able to stop many people this year. But I do agree, Saquon Barkley adds an element to that offense that could make that team very electric, especially if Odell Beckham comes back, you know, 100%. And Eli Manning can at least look somewhat like the quarterback he was 2 to 3 years ago they could be pretty elite offensively. But I think they, in order for them to win, they're going to have to win a lot of shootouts because I don't think their defense is going to be able to slow people down.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that defense got put in a lot of bad positions because Eli was so awful. And I think that skewed some of their numbers. You can only play so well when your offense, and your name is your quarterback, push you in awful positions. I think that defense is a little bit better than you give it credit for. And again, if he can have a bounce back here with the talent that he's going to have, if healthy, you know, all things considered, I think the Giants can make a – I think they can make a run at it. And I'm interested to hear why you wouldn't put Dallas in that conversation.
So
the reason why I didn't put Dallas in that conversation is a couple of reasons. To me, they still haven't gotten anybody out on the perimeter that is going to, you know, right now teams can stack the box against them. They don't have anybody in the wide receiver position that's going to put fear into them. And now their tight end just retired. They don't have anyone in the passing game that's going to scare anybody. And I think that was the main reason why I didn't put them in the top 10. And I think you saw their offensive line drop off just a tad bit to what it was a couple of years ago. I think, you know, it's they're going to have to run against teams that's going to have 8 men in the box against next year, and it's going to be hard for them to win in a passing game. Defensively, I think they have a shot to be somewhat about the area where they were last year.
Uh-huh.
Leighton Van Der Esch is obviously going to start from day one. And as you notice in years past, when Sean Lee was out, their defense just really looked awful. They did a better job of rushing the passer last year. And so I think defensively they can be right on the same par where they have been the last couple of years. I don't think they're going to drop off as much when Sean Lee goes out now that they have Van Der Esch. And, but I just think offensively, I really think they're going to struggle.
Okay. I just wonder. I mean, I had them at the back end of that 10. I just feel like they – you know, like you said, I think they can play enough defense, and you're right. They're going to have to find somebody. They're going to have to unearth a gem in that wide receiver group to kind of help out to open up some rush lines for Ezekiel. But I still think I like Dak Prescott. Yeah, I like Dak Prescott. I like Ezekiel. I think if you got two of them, two of the three what you need, I think if you can, you know, if you can find a way to hit or a kind of committee approach where you don't have a superstar, but they just kind of quietly get it done as a committee, but they could be in the back end of that 10. I'm not putting them nowhere near like 4th, 5th, or 6th or nothing like that, so don't get me wrong. The back end of that 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, I think the Bears have been one of those teams that have quietly improved a lot in this offseason.
They have.
On paper.
They have.
When you look at what they've done at the tight end and wide receiver position, when you look at what they were already pretty good on defense last year. They forced a lot of turnovers, and they might have even gotten better. So from a personnel standpoint, they look like a team that can really be a sleeper, but I still just haven't seen enough from Mitch Trubisky to say that yet. And I think that's one of the element that that scares me about putting them in the top 5 or the top 6. But from a personnel standpoint, they have really improved this offseason. Ryan Pace, the general manager there, has done a phenomenal job.
I would agree. That's what helped me off on Chicago was Trubisky. You know, we kind of gotten spoiled. We're seeing these young quarterbacks and assuming they can come in and step in right away if you give enough structure around them to perform well. But I just don't feel like that's the norm yet where you can just go ahead and project those guys to make that next step and say they're going to do it. Until I see them do it, I mean, then I'll be a believer then. I agree. That's what helped me out with Chicago.
Yep, good call. All right, well, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it. There's, you know, a lot of good stuff that you have touched on. You know, I definitely agree with you, JQ, as far as keeping the Falcons and kind of close to that, too. I like a lot of stuff, too. Dallas, Rob, same thing. I think they're Dallas right now. Jerry Jones is still having some challenges with that squad. He's trying to live back old glory, and you're right. They don't have any threats on the outside for receiver. I thought they were going to take Calvin Ridley, honestly. So I was like, what? That totally caught me off guard.
Yeah.
So they're going to be some challenges, too, as well, too, man. So. Yeah.
I knew they wanted another linebacker, and I always knew that Leighton Van Der Esch was in the mix. But, you know, most of my mock drafts had him taking a wide receiver as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially with Dez. So that was very surprising. But, again, unless they try to be the smartest man in the room and try to catch us off guard, you know, all good. But we'll see how that plays out. And like you said, I'm sure they didn't expect. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Like I said, but that's also before they were banking a lot on Terrence Williams. And then that fool crashed his Lamborghini or whatever it was into the pole. And that changes a lot for them. I think they were really high on him. And now you've got some questions about whether or not he's going to be suspended. Is he going to be in the right mind frame to come out and give them what they thought they were going to get from him now that he's had that offseason problem. So, yeah, I really think that's a bigger blow to Dallas than people are giving credit to.
But then even Jason Witten was a surprise, too. So that's another thing, too. So that was if he would have told him beforehand, they probably would have maybe addressed that a little differently. But, again, it's
true.
Over now. But good call.
They're still a free agent, Cowboys fans. Y'all want to bring him back?
He getting that Monday night. He getting that Monday night football money. He good.
No, I said Dez Bryant.
Oh, no. Oh yeah, no, he's done. That's over. Yeah, no, that's over. That's over.
I'm being facetious. I know they're not bringing him back.
Yeah. You better see if T.O. He out there working out. You better see if you can bring him.
T.O.
So yeah.
Yeah, you ain't seen the workout videos of T.O. He tried.
Yeah, man,
they
said T.O. ain't need a carb in months.
Yeah, he looks in great shape. I don't know. Nobody's going to give him a chance, but he looks phenomenal.
He ready. It's like Chad Ocho Cinco. All right.
Yeah, not Chad.
Popcorn ready.
Let's wrap this up, JQ, with about Tom Brady and, it's not going to derail the season by him missing the OTAs. I'm going to say that too, but just kind of give your quick thoughts, and we'll throw it to Rob to wrap up the show.
I mean, you know what? Most years I would have said no. But with all, at some point, where there's smoke, there's fire, I think they might be getting to that Joe Montana, San Francisco, Bill Walsh kind of thing where they just have too much time together and they like, I'm the person that's responsible. No, I'm the person. And those egos and those things come into consideration, the whole TB12 and keeping his trainer out. This would be the year I would say that it's happening with him getting up another year in age, they're trading away Brandon Cooks, Edelman coming back, Candy come back off the ACL. Gronk doesn't sound real happy either, and he's not been there. So I think this might be the first year I would say that it could be a little bit, and you heard Belichick come out and say, I'm only talking about the players that are here. Like, you just don't normally hear that. It's weird, right? In the same year where you had the same thing with San Antonio, with Kawhi and Pop, where it comes out and it's like, that's not generally what happens with these franchises. They've been the model of consistency and keep things in the house, and we do it our way, and everybody buys in. Like, you kind of feel like that kind of – it's not unraveling, but there's a little – it's fraying a little bit at the edges. So, if there's one year I could say that, I think it might – this would be the year.
Yeah, Rob? I actually think it's not going to be that big of a deal, actually. And I just think that they seem to always find a way. And Tom Brady has been in that system for, 40 years? Seems like it anyway. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal as they're making it out to be. Obviously, I think, you always want your star to be there, with the team and things of that nature. But I think he's the type of player that will be able to come in and jump right in and into that system and won't miss a beat. And I don't think they're really going to miss it. I think it's going to take a lot more than that to throw New England off base. I really do. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal. I think a part of it is, obviously, his wife, Gisele Bündchen, was the model or actress, whatever she is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she really doesn't want Tom Brady to continue playing at this stage of his life. And I honestly think that's all it is. I think Tom Brady just wants to spend – more time with his family, and since it's not mandatory, I think all the mandatories, the mini camps is mandatory, and of course training camp is mandatory, but OTAs are not. And so I think he'll be at all the mandatory functions. I think he's just trying to give in just an inch to his wife, I believe, to where I don't think he wants to totally stop playing like the way she wants him to, but I think he's giving in to her like, hey, I'm not going to go to OTAs. It's not mandatory. This is more time that we can have together. And I just think that's where he is with that.
Yep.
You know what? I think you're right. But I think what's happening with them makes it easier to do that. I think he would have a much harder call doing that if everything was hunky-dory, if he was happy, if Brock was happy, if they didn't have these stories that have been coming out over the past year about the kind of unrest that's happening over there in Foxborough. I think he might have come for a day or two or had, some of his famous, passing camps with his receivers in the offseason. It just feels like it's giving him a little bit more of an excuse to be like, you know what, you're right, baby. I ain't going. You know what I mean? Like, before it was like, you know, I want to be here with you, but I, you know, but you know, we got this machine rolling, baby, and I kind of got it going. I'm gonna do, you know, some of these other things. With that other piece happening, he can kind of, you know, hit that snooze, like, you know, I'm chilling. I'm gonna get my work in because, you know, I'm a Hall of Famer. I soon to be Hall of Famer. I think we can all agree to that as much as we hate him. But the unrest, I still think, you know, once you have the unrest and it allows that door to get cracked, so, like, you can have that, oh, I can stay home, I don't need to be here, and bump them anyway. I think they take me for granted. He won't, you know what I'm saying? That those things, I think, start to weigh in on it when you have those come out, and as much as it never came out from them. So I'm not saying it's totally going to do it. I'm just saying if there was a offseason where it could do it, this would be the one. All the other ones where you just want something to happen so they'll be off their game, and it's like, shoot, that didn't happen. Well, no, because what we were talking about before wasn't real. I feel like what's happening now is real. Can he overcome it? Yes, I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick can overcome it. But does it open that crack to where, you know, you just start to see a chink in the armor? I could also see that happen.
Good deal. All right, gentlemen, it's been a fantastic show, and then we'll keep this going, too, but I think we should let this ride for the lady jumps on and tries to cut us off. But again, as Robert said, we're going to have a week off. We'll be back the following Sunday, June the 3rd. We're looking forward to that. JQ, good luck in the doubleheader tomorrow. Rob, get some rest, some legitimate rest. Do you have anything else for the call? Want to wrap the show up, sir?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, obviously we thank you all for tuning in. I apologize again for tonight for my 8 minutes or 9 minutes of tardiness. Still blaming it on my fellas. But that's another argument. But thank you all for tuning in again. We'll be back at you on Sunday night, June 3rd. Once again, we got NBA Finals to talk about, NBA Draft. We get closer to football season, college football, and NFL here. So we have a lot to talk about. We're in the middle of the baseball season here. So we'll have a lot for you when we return on Sunday, June 3rd. Watching the Dodgers right now against the Rockies. They got a 5-3 lead. They've been struggling this year. You know, let's see if they can make a comeback. Obviously, they're 20-27. Actually, the Rockies are even ahead of them, 26-22. But the Dodgers up 5-3 right now. But we'll get you some baseball here going, too, as we're in the heart of the season as well. So we'll be coming back at you on June 3rd with a lot of that info.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. We're going to try to get some rest. I'm going to try to catch up to Rob because he already got his nap in, apparently. So I'm going to go to bed so I can get ready for this doubleheader tomorrow. I appreciate y'all.
I got
to
get up at 4 a.m.
I told you that dude right there is a vampire.
Yeah, he is. Get out of here. All right, bro.
That's why you got to help me out a little bit, man. You know, you got to make sure I'm awake. Send me that, give me a call at 9:45 or 10:45, y'all time, that is.
Hey, I'm not even dignifying that with a response. You go ahead, Dre.
I'm Rob. To the end of this day, you know that you always come in like we were thinking he's gonna show up any minute.
Not always. I've been doing better lately.
You've been doing better.
Two out of 100 times.
Like you normally.
2 out of 100 times don't make a trend.
Hey, I've been doing better for the last 2 months.
I just made it. Talking about I'm on time. So we figured you're gonna literally come in like right before the show. I was like, he's gonna come in, he's gonna call in. I was like, 10 seconds he's gonna call in. And then he didn't. I was like, he's gonna call in whenever, you know, the actual like monologue was going in. And then we're like, oh, he actually's not calling in. So we thought that's how you've always done. You always like call in like right before the show. So, you know, it's all good.
Don't dignify that. Don't dignify it.
Y'all know your boy got to get up in the middle of the night. Help me out.
What's that? Got
to
go get
down.
The trap.
He's going to try to go down like last minute. Still blaming on us, man. I love it.
Got to go cut that paper for the morning.
You got to be gangster. You got to wake up, gangster.
Yeah. We got to cut that money. Get it right for the morning.
Episodes. I gotta preserve this episode right here. This is my episode right here. I gotta make a move.
Oh, man.
So, man.
It's gonna be like a Les Miles episode.
Rob for sleep episode. I'm putting in the notes. Rob for sleep. All right.
All right. Well, you know, we got you on one of those, Andre, already. Remember that, JQ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have me on none. I just want to record so much. They don't have me on America. They don't have me on none.
At least we were ringing your phone off the hook.
We did.
Well, let's see. Yeah.
We did.
Yeah,
for sure.
Hey, I've had one too. I've had one too this season. But the fact of the matter is, it's that's back in the past. Now we're talking about the future. We're talking about now. So let's keep that going.
Well, I mean, Chucks, this is 12:25 Eastern Standard Time. So that was the past too, my tardiness.
Oh, goodness. Y'all crazy. I'm going to sleep.
Right. Good night, fellas. Good night, world.
Good night.
Yes, sir. Love y'all.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be right if we didn't mess with each other, though.
Oh, no, absolutely.
All right. Good night, fellas.
Yeah.
All right, bro. I'll see you later.
Yep.